us, and we'll stand and worship together.
Yeah.
saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause he hung up on that cross, then he rose up from that grave, and my God is still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout.
Good morning, church family. We get to celebrate these who are coming forward for believers' baptism and who have publicly professed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And at this time, if you know these candidates, if you've been praying for these, or if they're a part of your life group, or you are their life group leader, would you stand in honor as we celebrate and worship through believers' baptism? I have this morning Anna Tate
and Holly Carricker.
This is Caitlin Koontz.
We baptize these in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
So proud of you.
Let's go, guys.
This is Jaden Botter.
We have Blake Roberts.
This is Tim Lopez.
We baptize these in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Jamie Squarey.
And Bailey Soda.
This is Zinni Kratan.
We baptize these in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Oh my gosh, there's water in my ears.
And we've got one more. You know, Freedom Weekend was incredible. God moved powerfully. And this is actually one of our leaders getting baptized this morning. We're so thrilled and excited. This is Sydney Joseph. Sydney Joseph, because of your public profession, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and in obedience to his divine command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life.
Well, there is joy in the house of the Lord. Would you agree? There is nothing like that. There's lots to celebrate. Did you see what's on their shirt? It says, all things new. All things new. You know what? A baptism is a symbolic way of showing that our completeness is found in Christ, in Christ alone. Amen? I love that. And I love the fact we've got our kids' choir up here singing. Isn't that unbelievable? I love that they're up here singing with our adults as well. If you're a guest or if you're watching with us online, welcome. Welcome home. You know, one of the first things that I remember when I had a chance to be a part of Prestonwood is I realized that this wasn't a place of perfect people. This is a place where people can come, and they may come in their brokenness, in their need of healing, in their time of need, and you can be real and authentic, because that's what Jesus desires for us. I've shared this many times. I remember just being on that step right there almost 20 plus years ago, and just in a brokenness part of my life, transforming my commitment to Christ. Just like many of you did at Freedom Weekend, many of you have done as adults, and many of you have an opportunity to do today. So if you're a guest, welcome. If you're a guest here today, if you're a guest online, we would love for you to text us at 74788, text the word guest, so that we know you're here. We would love to connect with you. Matter of fact, if you're here today and you're a guest, we'd love to even see you at Guest Central right out here, and we may even have a free coupon for you to join us at Main Street for a free meal. Now, for those of you, again, who have been members for 10 plus years, quit looking at me like that. That's not for you, okay? That's for our guests. So welcome them out that way, and we'd love for you to do that. We've got some incredible things happening. Now, for those of you who are regular tenders, or you may even be watching online and say, man, there's a lot of energy in here. Well, welcome to my life. Teenagers are in the room. Yes. I get a chance to serve as the superintendent for Prestonwood Christian Academy System of Schools. Any of my lions out there? Yes. But here's what I'll tell you. We've had an incredible weekend, and Pastor's going to share some statistics about some amazing things that happened. But anybody from Freedom Weekend here at service today? Nice. I love it. And I got a chance to see even last night some of the incredible things happening, and I'm just so thankful that God has done a miraculous work this weekend. And so many kids have come to Christ, and even adults' lives transform because of the willingness and openness of what Christ can do for them. I will tell you, pastor's on fire today. You're going to hear a message out of Romans 12:1, and you all are in for a treat today. And about really going forward and giving our life as a full sacrifice to him, not in just part ways, but in a full, whole commitment to him, and it's going to be an absolute amazing thing today. Will you join me in a word of prayer today as we just commit our lives to be able to be fully here for him? Lord, we just ask you to probe our hearts, to give us really eyes to see, the ears to hear of what you have for us today. We come to you, many of us, in a place of brokenness or in a need of healing, in a place where we just need a touch of just knowing you are there for us. And Lord, let that be revealed so evidently today that we know there's the only person we need to trust is you. In you, we find all things new. We find an everlasting love, an enduring love that envelops our heart and our bodies, our minds and our souls. And we want to commit that completely to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Isaiah 54, verse 2 tells us to enlarge the place of our tent and to lengthen our cords and strengthen our stakes. At Prestonwood, the Lord has truly blessed us as we have enlarged the tent of our mission and ministry. Thanks to your generous giving, our ministries and ministry partners are continuing to expand the kingdom of God. Whether in person or online, more and more people are hearing the gospel and beginning a relationship with Christ. We urge you to continue to pray bold prayers throughout the year. And we encourage you to give generously so that we may truly live out our mission to glorify God by introducing Jesus Christ as Lord to as many people as possible and to develop them in Christian living using the most effective means to impact the world, making an eternal difference in this generation and generations to come. For your convenience, there are several ways to give. Online at prestonwood.org/give, through the Prestonwood app, at our giving kiosks, at the offering boxes as you enter or exit the worship center, to our mailing address, or by simply texting the word GIVE to 74788.
About our living hope, how great the chasm,
how great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my
Yes, the world will bow down and say you are God. Every man will bow down and say you are King. So let's start right now. Why would we wait? King. Yes, the world will bow down and say you are God. Every man will bow down and say you are King. So let's start right now. Why would we wait? We can pray.
right, go ahead and take your Bibles and begin finding Romans chapter 12. And while you are on your way there, just let me say, our church is aflame. It is on fire. If you were to light a match in here right now, it would go up in flames. I'm telling you, God is at work. His presence is very real, His power. And a lot of that, of course, this morning is the fact that we have these incredible students. Most often, our students are together down in the student building during the morning hours. They're in here as well, and I want to see more and more of you in big church, all right, because you got a couple of hours you can give on Sunday mornings. But they're all in here today, and it's so great to see you and just to know what God has done in your lives this weekend. In fact, I know everybody in here would like to just see en masse what this group looks like. So everybody in Freedom, go ahead and stand up. All of Freedom, go ahead and stand up. And thanks for filling up the room today. So, so very good. And just remain standing because I want to pray a blessing over you in just a moment. But the fact is, in the little article we wrote, went to press before the weekend, I said we're expecting about 1,500. Well, as usual, God does exceedingly more. And we had 1,894 students and volunteers. Thank you, volunteers, and thank you, student staff. Jason Mick, our lead student pastor, and his team, and all the volunteers have done an incredible, amazing job. Thank you so very much. So we've got the student ministry. Dr. Mike Goddard was up here earlier with Prestonwood Christian Academy, students from all schools, and then our school. It's just a fantastic thing to bring everyone together for Freedom. And so I have some numbers for you. So that's why I want you to stand, because you're excited about these. Professions of faith. This means changed lives, legacies forever. 59 young men and women said, yes, I will follow Jesus. You saw 12 baptisms. There are 12 for baptism at both campuses. This is both campuses, by the way, North Campus, Espanol, and also the Plano campus. So rededications, there were 27 of these. We had wonderful preachers, speakers at Freedom this week. We appreciate those guys coming in here and speaking. Great band, the Liberty Band. What do they call themselves? Collective, that's right, the Liberty Collective. They came in, did a great, great job. But we had 27 rededications, and I point that out because I'm going to be talking about that today, just the dedication of our lives. And that these are significant decisions, and I know a lot of others were made internally and not always publicly. So 98 public decisions for Christ. And then here's what we're very excited about. Today I'm going to be talking about the call to consecration, the call of God to say yes to Him. We had 112 of our students say yes to ministry call, to say, God is calling me to preach the gospel. We got a photo. We put them in a room, and do we have that photo available? So there they are right there, young men and women. Who's that guy with the Braves jersey on right there, Bennett? Called to ministry, to preach the gospel, to be missionaries, to serve the Lord, and we'll be equipping these and urging these and challenging these as we go forward. How great is that? And that's just touching the garment of all that God has done. So let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for these moments that we can share in life that last forever. And for those who have come to Jesus, who have been saved, those who have been renewed in their faith, and really that's all of us, Lord. We're just so encouraged by what you're doing in our lives and in our church and in our community. And Lord, for these who are called to preach, called to serve, called to minister in your church, and called to take the gospel to the world in some way, God, just seal their conviction and their hearts as they now begin to think towards this call upon their lives. Now take your word, Lord, and bring life to our words as we proclaim by your Spirit your truth. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So the title of the message is, we're jumping back into our Romans series, and we are in a series on Romans, and it couldn't land in a more appropriate place for our Freedom Weekend than Romans 12, 1 and 2. Now, I can tell you right now, we're only going to get to verse 1, so just relax. When you see me in about 25 minutes and you think, oh man, he's got another verse to go, I'm going to land the plane. But so We're going to spend some time. So students, that's one reason I want you to come back in here as well as student ministry next week, because I want you to get the second part and the rest of Romans, really. But it's the essential gospel. And the title of this message is All on the Altar. All on the Altar. I considered it later and should have entitled it this: Is Your All on the Altar? Because I want to make this personal like Paul made it personal. Coming off the great doctrinal section of Romans 1 through 8 and then a great section regarding the future and plans and providences of God for Israel, now Paul turns the corner and he begins talking not doctrinally so much, but devotionally, practically and personally, how we live the Christian life. Because we believe what we believe about Christ, and we've learned a lot, and there's so much more to learn in the book of Romans, and I hope you will continue to study it, the riches in Romans. But what happens in verse 1 of chapter 12 of Romans is an appeal. It is an invitation by the great apostle. And he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, in view of all these mercies, because of what we've said, because of what God has done in your lives, by the mercies of God, to do what? To present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Is your all on the altar? That's the question that we're asking today. It's what Paul was saying so long ago, as the apostle, the great apostle, and yet he's a pastor here. He's pastoral in his approach. He's not demanding or bullying his way in here. He's saying, I urge you. The old King James word was, I beseech you. It's almost as though he's down on his knees. He's saying, I'm pleading with you as your pastor. I'm pleading with you. And there's passion here. There's emotion here. Because of the mercies of God, I plead with you. I urge you to give your life over, to offer yourself unconditionally, wholly and completely as a living sacrifice to God. So many of the things, the great things that have happened in my life have happened at an altar. Now, when I refer to an altar in our church, really that's this place of decision. And through the years, even when I was a little boy, I gave my life to follow Jesus at an altar, a place of decision. I went forward. They called it in those days the altar call. And when the minister would speak and the evangelist would invite us to Christ, we would come. So as a six-year-old boy, I can remember it like it was yesterday. Honest truth. I walked down literally in Conway, Arkansas, a sawdust trail. There was sawdust. We were in a tent. And you could have gone barefooted. Not everybody runs barefooted in Arkansas, but some of us did. But I walked down a sawdust trail and I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Later on, when I was a teenager, a sophomore in high school, I went forward in my church in the response to the invitation to put my all on the altar. And at an altar, a place of decision, I gave my life publicly to preach the gospel. And it altered, it changed everything for the rest of my days. A few years later, I stood at a marriage altar in Mineral Wells, Texas, with my bride, Deb, and we said our I do's. She said yes, I said yes, and we were married. We made a commitment at an altar. It was a place of devotion and decision. So many times the altars at the close of this service, we're going to be singing a song. It's called Come to the Altar, and every time we gather together like this, we are inviting people forward. We're inviting people to stand. We're inviting people to come to Jesus, and that should be public because he always made it publicly, but it should also be prayerfully to come to this place of decision. Many times people will come, and today, no doubt it will happen again, and kneel at these steps like an altar before the Lord. I'm looking at some of you right now that I've seen pouring out tears at this altar and making life-changing decisions, changing your life and your legacy for Jesus Christ. And others who come forward as an altar commit to be a part of the fellowship of the church. I'm just saying that the gospel of Jesus Christ is always essential and it is always invitational. There is a response. And the response, as Paul is giving it here, as I am giving it today, is pastoral, it is personal, it is passionate, it is saying, come to the altar and put your life on the altar of Christ. Because half-hearted, never worked. Wholehearted always works when it comes to Jesus. If we're going to change the world, it won't happen with casual, conventional, cultural, convenient Christianity. It will happen with a consecrated Christianity, consecrated Christians who are holy and wholly offered to the Lord. Too many Christians have a hokey-pokey religion. You remember the song, The Hokey Pokey? Who remembers the Hokey Pokey? I mean, when I was growing up in a Baptist church, it's the only dance you could do was the Hokey Hokey Pokey, you know. Now we're singing songs about, you know, dancing, and that's fine. But I guarantee you, when you dance before the Lord, when you get to heaven, it won't be the Hokey Pokey. But what is the Hokey Pokey? I don't even know if I can remember it all. You put your... And you shake it all about. Do the hokey pokey. Okay, good. I got it. For too many Christians, their commitment to Jesus Christ is like that hokey pokey thing. Put it in, put it out. Turn around, turn about. But God has called us not a hokey pokey faith, but a holy faith. H-O-L-Y and W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy devotion and consecration to the Lord. Who ever said that you could have a half-hearted, half-in, half-out, fringe, come when you feel like it to church, live for Jesus when you want to, when it's convenient? Who said that? Who made that a possibility? Not God, not Jesus, who said in the Gospel of Matthew, he said, if anyone's going to follow after me, do what? Take up the cross. Die to self. Take up the cross and follow me. Ours is the faith of the cross and the resurrection. Not only we believe in the cross and boast of the cross alone, but we carry the cross as an act of sacrifice and surrender to the Lord. And that's what this sermon, this message, this text is about. It is about getting your all on the altar and to become a living sacrifice for Christ. So what does that mean? What does that look like? To be this kind of a sacrifice. C.T. Studd had a good name. He was a stud athlete in England way over a century ago. He was a cricket player. And he once said, and there's a photo of C.T. Studd. And he was a kind of a baseball player. Cricket is their version. He said, only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Just hold that one right there, guys. So C.T. Studd left a professional career. He was a professional player. And he walked away and heard a full-time ministry call to go and be a missionary. Many were amazed that he would lead this lucrative career in sport. And the applause and the accolades. I mean, just think, I don't know, pick a name, Tom Brady. Say, I'm going to walk away, I'm going to be a missionary. So that's what this guy did. Said, I'm going to be a missionary. And there was a group called the Cambridge Seven that joined together. They started a mission evangelism organization, and they went to the world with the gospel. And when people said to him, why would you do this? Why would you leave your life behind here in Britain and go to distant places? Here's what he said. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice for him could ever be too great. The appeal that the apostle is making here in this passage is just that. He said, in view of the mercies of God, because of what Christ... Now, if I could name this book, I would call it... Well, I would say many things about this book. But one thing for sure I would say about the Bible, this is the mercy book. It drips with the blood of God. and his mercy. Mercy drops. And it's all about God's mercy. And that's what, for those of you who have been with us in the book of Romans, that's what we've been seeing in the great sections of the core of Christianity, how the wages of sin was death, but the gift of God was eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, that God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, that that the love of God is so great that neither height nor depth nor our devils or angels, nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Just look at it again and again and again. You can't get too much of the riches of God in Romans, but it's all about his mercy, more and more mercy. That's what Paul, when he comes time to wrap it all up and turn the corner and talk about now living this life, he's saying, because of the mercies of God, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice that I make for him is too much. So because of these abundant mercies, this astounding grace, amazing grace in our lives, we then give ourselves to the Lord. And we do it not just in part, but all the mercies of God. A young president, John F. Kennedy, stood before the nation in his inaugural address, 1961, January of 61, and he made the well-known statement, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." And that is the same appeal of the Bible. What if you begin saying, "Ask not what God could do for you, but what you could do for God"? That's the turn. What God has done for you is amazing. It's incredible. It's his mercies, more and more mercies. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. But now that God has given us every blessing, life becomes less and less about bless me, bless me, bless me. But now, Lord, send me, use me for your glory. When we bring our lives on the altar. In the Old Testament, there were two kinds of sacrifices. One sacrifice was called the propitiatory sacrifice. Propitiatory sacrifice. That was the sacrifice for forgiveness that Jewish people would make. And then other sacrifices, all with animals or grain of some kind, these were dedicatory sacrifices, giving thanks to God for his provision, for his forgiveness, and his salvation. So the propitiation, that sacrifice, get this, was made by Christ, who died to save us from our sins. So that's his sacrifice. Our sacrifice is the dedication of our lives, where we bring not dead animals or grain, but we bring our lives and we put ourselves on the altar. So what is this sacrifice? Years ago, I heard it defined in three ways that I'm going to share with you today. First, it is a living sacrifice. Secondly, it is a lasting sacrifice. And thirdly, it is a loving sacrifice. And it is a lasting sacrifice as well. So, number one, it is a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Living in the sense that it is you on the altar. Christ died and now you live. And we are alive on the altar because of the sacrifice of Jesus. We are living sacrifices. Now, the problem of a living sacrifice is dead animals' sacrifices don't go anywhere. Living sacrifices can crawl off the altar. And some of you, some of us, from time to time have crawled off the altar. We're no longer there on the altar of God. Now, some of you may be thinking, okay, this is good for the missionary. It's good for the monk. It's good for the monastic. It's good for the preachers, for the clergy. It's good for those kids who say, okay, we're going to go to the ministry, full-time ministry. That's good for them, but that's not me. I'm more part-time in my faith. I'm more not all in. I'm just partly in when it's convenient. This is for the extra Christianity, extra Christian faith. This is for the superhero kind of Christian all on the altar. No. It's for all of us. I like the way it is translated or paraphrased in the message. Listen to this, Romans 12:1. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. That's it. This living sacrifice means not some ultra kind of experience, but it is your everyday walk with God. It is your walking around faith. It is your living faith. It is your driving around in your car faith. It's the folding the laundry faith. It's the sending a text kind of sacrifice. It's the taking an exam kind of sacrifice. That is a sacrifice. It's playing sports. It's coaching. It's mentoring. It's leading. It's whatever you do. This isn't just for the super spiritual types. I'm trying to say this is for all of us because of what Christ has done for us. It lives. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, you're walking around, you're driving around, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God in the name of Jesus for His glory. You know why some people don't surrender their lives completely to the Lord? You know why? Because they don't know the Lord like they should know the Lord. They have a warped sense of who God is and what God expects. Some of you are thinking, you know, if I really give my life unconditionally to the Lord, to follow Him like that anywhere, anytime, any cost, then I'm going to be miserable. I'll stop having fun. I won't have any friends. I may end up spending my life on the backside of nowhere somewhere. See, that's a warped view of God. God is a good God. Not only is He good, He does good, and He's working all things together for the good to those who love Him and the called according to His purpose. God's best is for you. This is what happens. His will is good and perfect and acceptable. And so when you take the risk, when you take the dare, and you go all in with the Lord, expect some challenges. There will be times it's hard. The cross may require some suffering. But the reward is so great. The challenge is there, but the celebration of the victory is so great when you give your life to the Lord like this. Because God is good, and His mercies, remember, it's His mercies that propel us into this kind of life and lifestyle. It's a living sacrifice. And you never stop because He's too good. If some of you parents in here, if your children came to you and said, you know, I want to be just the person you want me to be. Mom, Dad, I want to obey you, honor you in all things. You know, I want to listen to your counsel and follow your directions and give myself the best I can to be a great child. So what are you going to say if your child comes to that? Well, you're going to rue the day you ever said that. I'm going to make you miserable the rest of your life. It's homework every night from 6 p.m. till you go to bed. No fun, no joy. You're going to be miserable. No, if your child came to you and said, Mom, Dad, I want to be honorable to you. I want to live honored. If your child, you would break everything in two to make sure that your child had a good life, had a happy life, had a beautiful life. You would give everything for that child. We are parents, we are fathers and mothers who are errant, but our God, He is not errant. He is perfect, and our God has said, if you come to me, Jesus said, you come to me and you give me your all, it will be a life beyond your imagination. Take the dare, make the commitment, and go all in and just see what God could do with you. It's not only a living commitment, it's our sacrifice, but it is a lasting sacrifice. There's one sense, the language of the New Testament here, when Paul gives it, he says, I appeal to you, brothers, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's kind of a one and done kind of word there, that you do it as an act, a definite act of dedication and devotion to God. So in one sense, that's why I mentioned some of the decisions that I made along the way in my life, whether it was salvation or ministry call or marriage or and other times in my life. There have been definite times when I've said, okay, Lord, I am making this day a dedication to you. I'm giving my life to you. And that's why a rededication at a time like freedom can be altering to the rest of your days, the rest of your life. God just turns you around. You were going in the wrong direction, perhaps, and God turns you around. And you're never going to forget about it because of what Christ has done. So it's kind of like that. It's kind of it's like what has happened to some of you at Freedom this weekend. You presented your life to the Lord. You got on the altar. You said, my all is here. But we all know, as I said earlier, one of the problems we've got of being a living sacrifice is we crawl off the altar, and it can happen. It's happened to me. So what needs to happen when that happens? I need to crawl back up on that altar and not quit. You know, one of the problems we've got, and I want to challenge you today, young men and women in particular, one of the challenges we have today is we see teenagers, high school students graduate, leave, go to college, maybe military, maybe labor force, but you leave home and you leave your faith behind. We've seen it. We've seen drifting and then diminishing and even deconstruction of faith. People come back and say, you know, I don't even have a faith. Because they quit. A living sacrifice never quits. You just keep getting back on the altar when you fall, when you fail, when you choose the wrong way, when you choose to get off, there comes a time you get back on the altar. You get yourself back up there. I want to challenge you, when you leave your home, when you leave your family, your parents, or wherever you're living, don't leave home without Jesus being the Lord of your life and that you're on the altar with him. It's lasting. Don't quit. Everybody wants to quit today. If it gets hard, if it gets uncomfortable, if I fail, I just quit. No, this sacrifice is a living sacrifice. It's a lasting sacrifice. You're on the altar and you keep yourself there. You say, how am I doing that? This is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Just like Moses, when he was in the desert, he was wasted. He thought his life was over. And yet God called him out of a burning bush, and he saw the bush aflame, and he thought, if I could just get the fire in my bones again, if I could just get the fire back, maybe God could use me again. That's, you know, a sacrifice burns, doesn't it? So you get the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit to burn in you, to reignite you, if you will. And you keep burning and shining for Jesus. It's a living sacrifice. It's a lasting sacrifice. It becomes a daily decision. And one final thing, it's a logical sacrifice. Now stay with me. It's a logical sacrifice. Because what he says here, in view of the mercies of God, offer yourselves, your body, as a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable, which is your spiritual worship. And some translations give that your reasonable service. The word is the word, we get our word logic from the word that is translated here, spiritual worship or reasonable worship. Some versions give it as true worship, others as proper and true worship. The NLT, New Living, says truly it is the way to worship Him. But it's the word logic. In other words, I'm saying it's logical, it's reasonable to do this. It's a living, lasting, logical sacrifice, the giving of your bodies to God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, what, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? That you are not your own, that you are bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. Therefore, glorify God with your body, which belongs to Christ. So when he says present your bodies to Christ here in Romans 12, it means all of you, including your body. I mean, we live in our bodies. And what I do to make sure that my all is on the altar, I pray regularly a prayer that I'm going to suggest to you today in closing this message. It's something that I pray often at the outset of my day. I just pray from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And I start with my mind. Lord, I give you my mind. May I love you with all my heart, my mind, my soul, and strength. Lord, may I think true thoughts and praiseworthy thoughts. Guard my thoughts, O God, and renew and transform the way that I think. And may my thoughts be honorable and pleasing to you, O God. Help that my thoughts would be filled with faith and love for you. And then from my mind, I move to my eyes. Lord, I give you my eyes, what I see, because the eyes are the light of the soul, Jesus said. Help me to look beyond today and my circumstances and to see the eternal, to take the long look and have an eternal perspective. Lord, protect my eyes from seeing things that are ungodly or immoral or impure. And Lord, may I see with the eyes of Christ people around me who need you. May I see the hurting and the helpless and the hopeless and love them. God, I give you back everything. Lord, may I have the eyes of Christ. And then I move from my eyes to my ears. Lord, may I hear your word. May I awaken to hear your word spoken in the wonders of creation and especially in the wonders of your word and in the whispers of your spirit. Lord, let me hear every detail. Let me so listen that I will obey you and live for you. Lord, you said, he that has ears, let him hear. Lord, let me hear what you want me to do. And especially, Lord, that I would hear your call. God is calling some of you today, not maybe to preach, but to do something else in the center of his will. Are you hearing the call of God? And is your answer always yes, Lord? Because the moment you say no, Lord, he's no longer Lord of your life. You can say yes, you can say no, but you can only say yes, Lord. You can't say no, Lord. So, Lord, let me say yes to you and what you're called. And then, Lord, I then pray for my mouth. I need that because I've got a big one. Lord, may the words of my mouth I give to you, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, may my tongue glorify your name, the words that I say, the words that I speak. Help me to use words that equip and encourage others around me. Lord, use my mouth to proclaim your name, to share Jesus, to tell people about Jesus. Lord, I give you my mind. Lord, I give you my eyes. Lord, I give you my ears. Lord, I give you my mouth. And I give you my heart, Lord, because that's your throne. take your rightful place of preeminence in my life on the throne of my heart. I get self out of the way, Lord, that you may reign and rule and live in lordship in my life. My heart, Lord, guard my heart. For I know the scripture says out of the heart flow all the issues of life. So, Lord, I give you my heart. And then I pray, Lord, I give you my hands. Lord, here are my hands. May you use them to work for you, to serve you in the ways that you have assigned me. And Lord, may my hands be open to you and giving to others. Lord, let me not live with hands clenched, holding on to what I have, but Lord, that I would open my hands and serve you with gladness and joy. Lord, let me lift my hands in praise and adoration to you. Lord, I give you my hands. And then, Lord, I give you my feet. Lord, let them move at the impulse of your love, at the direction of your spirit. May they go where you want me to go. Lord, I say your will, wherever, whenever, whatever, however. Lord, not your will, but my will be done. Take me to the places, move my feet in the pilgrimage towards heaven that would honor you. Lord, I give you my feet. Send me and use me. That's living with your life on the altar. So I close with asking you, is your life on the altar? Is it a living, lasting, logical, reasonable offering of your life to the Lord? Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Just like the Apostle Paul was persuading and inviting, I'm inviting you today online, 74788. You can text in the word Jesus. And if you need Christ in your life, you can make that decision right now. If you want to just get on your knees right where you are in your room, where you're watching on a screen somewhere, or just bow your head before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to surrender my life completely to you. If you've been running from God, walking away from God, if your life is not on the altar, look, he saved you. He gave his life for you. It's time you give your life back to him. And then right here in this room, God's been doing a work in so many students' lives, and I believe in adults and grandparents and parents and single adults here today. And the Holy Spirit is prompting you to surrender fully to the Lord. You've been resisting. You've been holding out. You need to crawl back on the altar and say, Lord, my mind, my mouth, my morals, my mentality, everything, Lord, it is yours. It's never too late to get back on the altar. You say, it was too late for me. Never. Remember, this is because of the mercies of God. Mercies of God. They're abundant for you. Get back on the altar of sacrifice and surrender. Say, Lord, here's my life, all the heart of me, every part of me. Maybe you'd like to come and kneel and pray at these steps. Make it an altar of surrender and decision. If you need Christ, if you want to make it public in the church, come today and just one of the pastors will be here at the front or upstairs in the balcony to help you make that decision for Christ. You can come to this altar and walk out of here living for Jesus. Others, you need a church home. You need a church family. Some of you need believer's baptism. That's an altar. Baptism is like an altar. It's like literally physically going all in, head to foot. It's symbol, it pictures that. So some of you need to come for believer's baptism and say, Lord, my life is yours. Don't hold anything back. You've been trying that. That's not working, is it? Say yes to the Lord. Make it an everlasting yes. And make this day a day of decision and devoutness and dedication and consecration and commitment that you'll never, ever forget. Lord, may it be so. Lord, may your people come to you. Come to this altar. Come to your altar, God. We surrender our lives. We give ourselves to you. Save the lost. Renew our faith. as we put our all on your altar. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text the word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.